today, if that is such a thing. Open your Bibles and to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we'll be reading a few verses there today. Wednesday, also known as hump day, can be a pretty drudging time of the week, middle of our week, still two more days till the weekend. But I heard a statement that I've been saying to myself lately, that there is no bad day when we have a great God. And if you just remember that simple truth throughout your day, I think it will make your Wednesdays not so bad. But today we'll be reading in Philippians chapter 1. And my father is actually at teen camp right now preaching. And when he told me that he would be preaching at teen camp, he so kindly let me know last week that I'd be preaching tonight. And I was a little scared, nervous, like I am right now. But he said, well, you can preach at camp to the teenagers. And then I thought, hey, then home doesn't sound so bad. I think I'm not ready for that yet. So let's preach here. Philippians chapter 1, and today I'm going to be preaching to you a message that really, honestly, has just been something that God has spoke to my heart about. And tonight, just really sharing some very simple truth to a Wednesday night crowd. I know you guys are a lot more obviously committed, a lot more, put a lot more value on church and your relationship with God being here in the middle of your week. I know you have a lot of other things to do. I'm not going to be long tonight. I can promise you that, and let's just dive right into it. Philippians chapter 1, let's start in verse 15. The Bible says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now whether it be by life or by death, or I'm sorry, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight on this Wednesday night, Lord, with this Wednesday night crowd. I pray that you would cleanse me of my sin, Lord. I pray that you would just empty me myself and fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Just use me as your mouthpiece tonight to communicate this very simple truth, Lord, of magnifying you with our lives. I pray that you would help us to have open hearts and focused minds, Lord, as we dive into this first chapter of Philippians, looking into Paul's life and how he magnified you, Lord, in his life, even unto death. I pray that you'd be with us tonight and help us to have a good rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage that we just read in the beginning of Philippians, is Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he is writing from a very dark place. And I want you tonight to imagine with me, if you can, a hole in the ground about the size of a manhole. And as you would find on the street today, just about that size. As you enter into this hole, you can see nothing but a dim light in the distance emitted by a small oil lamp. And as you lower yourself down about 12 feet, you stand up and can hardly breathe because the stench is so bad. The stench of manure and death fill the cold, damp air. As you walk through the cold, dark cells, and as you walk on the jagged path, there are cells covered or carved out of the rock quarry on either side of you. You are imagining today, and what I'm explaining to you is the cell that Paul was sitting in when he wrote this letter to the church of Philippi. And as he was sitting in these cells, he was not only in the inner cell of the Roman Empire, his feet were in bonds, and as it would fix them in stocks, that means he would have to sit there, he would not be able to move, and he was in chains, and he was under the street level, and as men would walk their animals above the street, the perforated ground, the manure and debris would fall into the cells that Paul was in. Just to give you a little background of where Paul was when he was describing and writing this letter to Philippi, when he made the statement that Christ shall be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or by death. It puts a little bit more gravity behind that statement when you realize the conditions that Paul was in. Now I ask you, sitting in that padded pew as you are, what did you do this month? What did you do this week and even today to magnify Christ in your life? How are we, as redeemed, born-again Christians, supposed to magnify Christ in our lives? Well, today we're going to see three avenues of our life in which we can and must magnify Christ. The first avenue of our life that I would like to show you that we ought to magnify Christ in today in our body is our speech. Paul said that he would magnify Christ in all of his body, but there are three avenues in which he can do this, the first being speech. You see, whether it's my life, speech, spirit, or submission, God should be magnified in the way I live so that even my death can be glorifying to God. And at the end of the year now, it'll be time to elect a new president. And I know you guys are very familiar with the presidential race going on, and it's not a pretty one. But as all presidential campaigns continue, each campaign pursues and begins to try to show the best side of themselves, their campaign, and their policies. Most times, they try to even dig up dirt on the other campaign to cast them down and cast the other candidate down and to lift themselves up. And the whole drive of their campaign is obviously to seek the presidential seat and be elected at the end of the election. I see a very common denominator between these presidential campaigns and even us as Christians today. Most times we try to make ourselves look as best as we can, even if it means bringing others down. We are consumed with our self-image and how people view us. We constantly try to magnify our best qualities when God just wants us to magnify him. We humble ourselves and exalt him. He will lift us up to where he wants us to be when we do that. When you go throughout your day, what is your driving decisions? What are you wanting to do and why are you doing it? Why are you saying what you say? Why? Is it to make yourself look better or to make Christ high and lifted up? We need to magnify Christ in our speech. Paul, when he used this word magnifying, the Greek word behind it actually means to make great, to celebrate in praise, especially in the exaltation of the name, mercy, and other attributes of God. You see, Paul was literally saying that he wants to exalt the name, the mercy, and the reputation of Christ in every aspect of his body in life and in death. Paul was willing to be beaten, imprisoned, and even stoned to death for Christ. What are you willing to do? What are we willing to do on a day-to-day basis with our speech alone to magnify Christ's name, to share his mercy with others and his grace? When he said this, he was truly selflessly living to magnify Christ. And it is only when we become completely selfless that we also can magnify Christ. One definite way of exalting the name of Christ in our bodies would be our speech. The Bible says to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Is yours? Let's look at a couple of ways that our speech can magnify Christ. And by the way, before we can honor and magnify Christ in our speech, we must magnify Christ in our thoughts. Because as we know, our thoughts turn into our words and our words into action. So before we can ever begin to honor God with our words, what are our thoughts? Are we slacking in the way of how focused we are and diligent we are to keep our thoughts pure before Christ? And though no one else may be able to see your thoughts, God sees them. And we can still magnify him and glorify him in the pure thoughts that we have. And when we have those right thoughts, when we have those magnifying thoughts of Christ, those glorifying thoughts, then they will become words. And then we can truly magnify Christ through our speech. We can magnify Christ with our speech by praise to others in God and preaching the gospel. A lot of times our speech we use to try to abuse and cut down others so that we can look better. That is the exact opposite of what God wants, rather. If Christ is to be magnified in my body, he must be magnified in everything that I say. Choose to lift up Christ in everything that you say. Look for opportunities to praise God. Look for opportunities to mention God in front of your coworkers, in front of your kids, in front of your family. Words of encouragement, truth, and edification are types of speech that show Christ. Christ never was negative in his speech unless it was when he was rebuking someone of their sin. Then can you tell me why most of our speech is negative and not positive? Preaching the gospel. When we want to magnify Christ with our words, we can't help but share the good news, and that is the gospel. But before we can share this gospel and before we can truly see greater works in our lives and Christ do greater works, because it is Christ that can only produce those great works. We must empty ourselves. We must empty ourselves and die to our flesh daily. Because when we listen to our flesh, we're not going to use words that glorify Christ. We're not going to want to share the gospel with our coworkers. We're not going to want to go out and speak Christ to others when we are fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. We must magnify Christ in our speech. And when we do, we will find ourselves praising others, praising God, and preaching the gospel. We need to magnify Christ in our speech. Secondly, another avenue that we can magnify Christ is in our spirit. If you look in our verse again, it says, in verse 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You see, Paul had no shame. He realized that it doesn't matter what others think of me. He realized that his life's purpose was not for others anymore. It was not even for himself. It was for Christ's honor and Christ's glorification. And when he had that true purpose in his heart, he could then go on to magnify Christ in his speech. He could then go on to magnify Christ in his spirit, because that was his driving goal, not others. Our spirit is definitely a part of our body. Our emotions and reactions are a big part under the category of the body. Not only would Paul have magnified Christ in his speech, but no doubt also in his spirit. His demeanor and attitude would have been that which is pleasing to God. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, let's look at verse 24. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 24, the Bible says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't know if you are familiar with this story, but here again we find Paul in another prison with his feet fast in stocks again. This seemed to be a reoccurring situation in Paul's life. Nevertheless, he continued to magnify Christ with his life and even unto death. We see and we pick up in verse 4 when they are thrust into the inner prison, locked up and bound by chains. And it says, at midnight, Paul and his partner Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it says the prisoners heard them. I don't know what situation you are in today, but I'm pretty sure, looking at you here tonight, you have it a lot better off than in prison tonight, chained up, let alone a Roman prison. We see Paul here being persecuted for doing nothing wrong, but rather preaching Christ. On a side note, I wonder how many of us, if we lived in this time, would even find ourselves in that position. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, how many of us would actually be put in prison today if people were to examine our lives, looking if we were preaching Christ? Would you be put in prison today? Did you preach Christ to your coworker today? You see, even sometimes I wonder if people often speak of the government banning Bibles, and to the point if they were ever get to saying no more prayer, no more soul winning, no more Bibles. And I wonder if they will even have to get to that point, because are Christians even doing it today? Maybe they don't have to make a law against it, because maybe Christians aren't doing it enough to make a difference. Maybe it's not important enough right now because we as Christians aren't practicing it in our lives today. If we found a law passed tomorrow saying you are not allowed to read your Bible, would it make a difference in your life? Would it change anything in your life? Because in Paul's, it did. He was persecuted. He was put in prison for doing nothing but sharing Christ. And as we find him in prison today, or in this passage in chapter 16 of Acts, we see him in a very dark place. We see him in a very depressing place, but we see him praising God. We see him using his speech to praise God and magnify Christ. We see him magnifying God in his spirit, in his attitude, in his demeanor. How is that? Because he was not living for himself. He was not living for others. He was living to magnify Christ in his speech and in his spirit. I remember this specific time when I was about in sixth grade, and I wanted to go to my best friend's house, as I often did. It was a Saturday, and my friend had called me, or we had planned it, and I asked my dad, and he said no, because we had to do yard work. Yes, the drudgery of yard work. we were having people over the next day, and at that time, our backyard was filled with hedges and bushes and all kinds of things to cut and rake and pick up, and he needed my help. So he said no. And I did not want to do yard work. In fact, that was the last thing that I wanted to do, believe it or not. I would have done anything else in order to be able to go to my friend's house. I would have even done yard work in order to go to my friend's house, but I had to do yard work and still didn't get to go to my friend's house. I did the yard work, but let me tell you, my spirit and my demeanor, my actions and my face all showed that I did not want to do yard work. My demeanor and my spirit said, I might be doing this on the outside, but on the inside, I really, really, really wish you would have just let me go to my friend's house. This is the last thing I want to do. I don't want to do this. This is dumb. I don't want to pick up leaves. I don't want to cut leaves. I don't want to do any more yard work. I just want to go play and have fun. And my spirit, my demeanor, my attitude were all reflecting one thing. They were all reflecting me, what I wanted, and what I thought was more important to me and more fun to me. Your spirit is not to reflect your wants. It is not to reflect your agenda. It is to reflect Christ in every situation of your life. Sometimes you don't even have to speak, and people can tell that you are having a negative or critical or just flat-out mean spirit. Just as my parents could see that my attitude was not a good attitude. I didn't say anything, but they could tell. And just as they could tell, people can tell when you do not have the joy of the Lord, when you don't have the peace that passeth all understanding, when you're not magnifying Christ, and when you're magnifying yourself in your attitude and your spirit, people can tell. Whenever you show any of these, or even complacency, you are showing pride in the lifting up of yourself, not Christ. When your spirit magnifies Christ, you are loving, kind, gentle, long-suffering, patient, and things of these nature. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you in John chapter 13. He said that ye love one another as I have loved you. He said, if ye have love, or he said, I'm sorry, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let me ask you today, if we were to examine your lives at work and at home and out in public, would people be able to label you as a disciple of Christ based on your love towards other people? Would other Christians, would even lost people be able to label you as a Christian on how your spirit is? Is it magnifying Christ? Or is it magnifying yourself? You see, two areas of our life that we will magnify Christ in our spirit, two areas in our spirit that we will magnify Christ, rather, is through shining and sharing. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and through 16, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, when the Bible says shine your light, it doesn't say put forth your best talent and put forth your best dress and shine yourself before all men. No, it's saying, when you shine before the world, you ought to shine the Holy Spirit. You ought to shine the love of Christ. You ought to shine the fruits of the Spirit. And by them, it says that God will be glorified. How are you glorifying God? Are you shining in public? When people look at your life, do your coworkers, do people in public see Christ? Are you shining the love of Christ? Are you spreading the gospel? It says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Where are you putting your candle today? Is it set on a candlestick for all to see, or when you're around certain people, do you try to hide it? Do you try to blend in with the world so that you can be accepted by others? Because just as I said, accepted of others, that shows what you're living for, the acceptance of others, or rather, the lifting up of yourself and not the magnification of Christ. We are able to shine in our spirit, but we are also able to share. Mark 16, 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, I might be called to preach, but like I've said before and you've heard before, everyone as a Christian is called to preach the gospel to every creature. That was not just for preachers or teachers. That's for every Christian. And how are you doing in magnifying Christ with sharing His message? I know that a lot of us are touched by cancer and its awful disease. I know my grandmother was touched by cancer. I know Dave Winters has been struggling with some certain types of cancer. And I know many of us every one of us could probably list someone that we know that's been affected by cancer or even died of it. Now, I want you tonight to imagine with me, if you would, if tomorrow morning you found out that they have produced the cure for cancer. How amazing would that be? That would be an exciting day. But then I want you to also imagine with me if they announce that they do have the cure for cancer, but they will not be giving it out. That you will not have access to it. You don't know what it is and you cannot have it. And imagine with me the curiosity that would fill your mind. Imagine with me the desire that you would have in your mind, as I know even probably some of you sitting here today know someone going through cancer right now who would love to have that treatment. And imagine them not being able to get it and dying because of it. But see, that's exactly what we are going through today. And that is exactly what you are withholding. You have the cure to sin. You have the cure to Satan's bonds of hell. You have the cure to release lost people from an eternity of fire and brimstone. And yet, why don't we share it? If you truly believe today in a place called hell and a place called heaven, and if you truly believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins, why aren't you helping other people? Because Jesus said, by this love, people will know you are my disciple. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you ought to show this love. You ought to share the gospel. To see greater works happen in this church, we cannot help but shine and share the gospel. Are you magnifying Christ in your spirit, in your speech? Lastly, I'd like to show you the third avenue in which we may glorify God in our bodies. You see, we also can magnify God in our submission. When Paul speaks of magnifying Christ even to death, he is showing an unbelievable submission. Being willing to die to magnify Christ, Paul is definitely showing he has submitted his will to whatever God wants him to do. Paul realized in order for Christ to increase, that he must decrease. He was willing to lay down his own will to live for God's glory. We could definitely learn from Paul in this way. You see, if I went around this room tonight and were to ask you individually, would you give your life for Christ? If it came down to it tonight and the circumstances went that way, would you lay down your life for Christ as a Christian? And I think, honestly, I think that we would like to say from a sincere heart that we would like to believe that we would lay down our lives for Christ if it came to it. But I fear, just like Peter, how he said the same and then denied Christ three times, we also would state this bold and courageous statement and yet do not have the boldness or courage to live for Christ. And I submit to you tonight, Christ is not asking you to give your life up for him, at least not now. And is it so hard for him to ask you to live for him? Your death cannot glorify God if your life does not glorify God. Your death cannot glorify God if you will not live to glorify him. But you see, in order to live for Christ, we must die daily. As Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 15:31. It kind of sounds funny for your brain to wrap around, but you see, we cannot die for Christ and glorify him until we live for Christ, for his glorification. And we cannot live for Christ until we die to ourselves and crucify our flesh every day. And that is a day-by-day, morning-by-morning, moment-by-moment decision, whether we're going to live for ourselves, whether we're going to fulfill the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, or the pride of life, or will we crucify it and choose to magnify Christ through our speech, through our spirit, and lastly, through our submission. I remember one night as I was at my friend's house, same friend's house, a lot of things happen at this friend's house. We were over there and we had played and gotten bored. It was at nighttime and he wanted to watch a movie. But the problem was he wanted to watch a movie that I knew my parents would not approve of. And as he brought this movie up to topic, I knew my parents wouldn't approve of it. And so I told them that I wasn't going to watch the movie. And by making that decision, I was showing my submission to my parents. I was showing my submission to them, to their wishes, and obeying them and what they said. You see, what you submit to or give into will show what you hold as important or irrelevant. What are you submitting to today? What are you giving yourself over to today? What are you allowing to lord over your life? Your lust? Yourself? Your job? Your sports? Your boss? Your family? What are you giving yourself? What are you submitting yourself to? Because that is what shows you what you think is important. That is what shows you what you think is irrelevant sometimes, what you don't submit yourself to. And I know I'm speaking to a Wednesday night crowd tonight, but this is very practical, and I think we can all apply it into our lives as we examine ourselves and look at and ask yourself, what do I submit myself to? What am I willing to submit myself to for my own pleasure, but what am I not submitting to God? Is there something in your life that God is saying, I want that, give that to me, and you're holding on to it? You see, Paul was willing to submit everything all the way up to his own life. But you see, he was willing to submit his own will and live for Christ as well. Are you willing to submit every part of your life? Are you willing to magnify Christ in submission? What area of your life won't you submit? And why? Because you're not living to magnify Christ? Do you not truly want to see greater works done in this church? You see, we will not see greater works until we empty ourselves of ourselves. We will not see greater works until we submit ourselves to God's will for every moment of every day. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, speaking of Jesus, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You see, Christ was the perfect example of humbling and submission to God's will and God's way. As we see Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, he says, not my will, but yours, Lord. And as he was sweating drops of blood, you could see the dreading of the beatings and the scourging and the crucifixion that he was about to go to. But nevertheless, he said, your will, not mine. And I know, like I said tonight, we aren't in prison tonight. We aren't being persecuted for our faith to the degree that Paul was. And really, we have no right to say that we are even being persecuted going compared to what Paul has been through in his life. We have no persecution, not yet. But as Paul went through prison, and even as Jesus, the ultimate example, submitted himself to persecution of scourging and crucifixion, he submitted himself all the way up to death and to God's will. Is there anything you're not submitting tonight? Give it up. Submit it to God tonight. And choose to magnify Christ in your speech, in your submission, and in your spirit. You know, usually when people think of a magnifying glass, they think of enlarging an image. And yes, that is the main use of a magnifying glass, but when I was younger, I would like to take the magnifying glass, as I'm sure many of you did as well. And on a bright sunny day, I would take it out, use the magnifying glass to concentrate the rays of the sun to one beam to either incinerate bugs or catch a leaf on fire. And I got such a thrill, the young pyromaniac that I was. Now I'm a little bit older pyromaniac. But I got such a thrill from gathering those sun rays all to one point and causing that little bit of fire out of the leaf. You know, I like to take the magnifying glass illustration and apply it to our lives. And I know that I've been talking about magnifying Christ, and yes, we need to enlarge in Christ in the eyes of other Christians and even more importantly, the lost, but I'd like to also make the comparison of just as that magnifying glass would gather all the rays of the sun from every part of that glass and point it into one, to one beam, so our lives, every avenue, our speech, our spirit, and our submission should take all avenues of our life and focus it on one point, and that's Christ. All avenues of our life, all halls of our heart, every avenue of our mind in the deep, dark corners of your thoughts should magnify Christ. It should all come to one point and should start a fire in your heart and should start a fire in the souls of lost people to want to know what you have, to want to know the God that you know, that you have the opportunity to come before and to pray every day and to read from his inspired word, the word of God. But before we can share it, we must partake in it ourselves. How can we give what we do not have? And how can we share what we do not partake in? Are you magnifying Christ today? The only thing that will get in the way of magnifying Christ is you. Set your pride aside today. Come today and let go of your wants and desires. Stop trying to show how good you are because you have a God that is so much greater than you and the world needs to see him today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today, Lord, and thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord, and how we can learn from Paul and how he magnified you not only in his life but even all the way up to his death. Lord, I pray that you would help us this week and throughout this year and throughout our lives to magnify you in our speech, in our spirit, and in our submission to you, Lord. I pray that we would wake up tomorrow morning choosing to magnify you, choosing to live for your will only and not ourselves. I pray that we would crucify our flesh, Lord. I pray that we would fight the good fight, that we would shine and show your love to others for your glorification and the magnification of you. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I'm not going to have a long invitation or anything like that tonight, but if you have an area in your life that is not magnifying Christ, is not bringing Christ to magnification and glorification in the eyes of others, if there's a part of your life and your spirit that is not showing Christ, is not shining, if you're not sharing the gospel or submitting to God's will in your life, whatever it is, I don't know, I pray that you would just surrender it to God, that you would submit and choose to glorify and magnify Christ in every avenue of your life and every day.